But in some churches, not so much ours, but in some churches, when the pastor says something that people like, they say, amen. So I'm going to try to get you kids to say amen. Are you guys ready? And adults, you can chime in too. And what amen means is yes, or I agree, or so be it. You guys ready? Amen. Okay. This Christmas, are you wanting some presents?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Reuben's yelling from the front. So who's hoping for presents here? Some people, right? Now, Christmas is a time when visions of sugar plums and bikes and trains and video games and balls and all kinds of various toys fill our heads. And maybe there's something that we're excited, we're hoping to get, both young and old alike. Maybe there's a present or a few things that we're hoping. We're hoping for some presents this Christmas. Next question, and you don't have to amen anymore, but you can. This Christmas, are you hoping for presents with a C-E? Are you hoping for some presents? Now, for Christmas, a lot of times, what it is, Christmas is a time when we gather with loved ones and there are people around us, and we look forward to being with certain people. So maybe you're hoping for some presents. And a lot of us are in different places, and maybe this year you're hoping for presents, and maybe somebody's missing, and it's going to be difficult. And if you could just have that person around or those people around, it would just seem to make Christmas perfect. Maybe this year we're hoping for presents of lack of peace, and you're thinking about family gatherings, and you're worried maybe there's going to be some tension. There's maybe some fracturing relationships, and you're hoping that somebody's going to show up and somebody's going to get along, or there's not going to be harsh words or fights, but you're worried about tension maybe in the presence. Maybe you just would want some presence. You think about Christmases past and how they were louder and more active and there was more going on, and now Christmases are a little too quiet, and you wish that it was noisy again, but it feels a little bit lonely. Now, some of us maybe wish for presence of more people or wish for presence of different people. Maybe you wish just the presence of the atmosphere to be different. But all of us here wish for more of the presence of our Advent themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. So this morning, as we get started and looking at a passage, the passage that we're focusing on is a really strange Christmas passage because it's not about Christmas. And I kept thinking this is a really bad idea. But all of the Advent themes are in this passage that we're gonna read that was written by a guy that we call the Apostle Paul. So when one of the Advent themes comes up, I want to encourage someone to go, woohoo! Can you do that? Woohoo! All right. So, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. You guys belong in the front row. I love the front row. I want to get closer to you guys. I like the energy. I'm getting it. And so we've had the three so far of hope and peace and joy, but we're getting ready to now, because God's love, that's the biggest one we're excited about, isn't it? Has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this, again, even though it's not your traditional Christmas passage, it has all of our Advent themes. And I love how this passage ends. It's about how God shows His love for us. And so thinking about love, and I think that's maybe the big question that we have this Christmas, is how love is going to be, how we're going to show love maybe to people around us, or how love is going to be shown to us. Because one of the things, even though God is, we can't see God, we can see His love. Because love needs to be shown to be known. If people just love privately, it's not just a private feeling, but love to be experienced, love needs to be shown to be known. So again, even though we can't see God, we can see His love, and He thought it so necessary for us to experience it, understanding that we can't really know love until it's shown, that He showed us love in Christmas. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible describes what Christmas is all about. It was written by John, a guy who knew Jesus personally. And this is what he wrote: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." So God shows His love by giving. God showed His love by giving a present. God shows His love by giving presents, like things. And God showed His love by giving presents. We open this series with something that John wrote in the very beginning of his gospel. It's what we took our theme from, the light of the world. It says this. It's talking about Jesus Christ here. John says that in Christ was life. Don't we want life? Sometimes we get weary. We talked about that last week. But in Him was life. There was vitality. There was energy, like in this front couple rows here. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The word that we use, Advent, means coming. It's about the coming of Christmas, or the coming of Christ. It's also the coming of light, that light is on its way, that hope is on its way. Joy. Sorrow can last for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Peace. Pastor Brandon talked about the daily struggle for peace. While we struggle, we struggle towards peace. The peace can be coming. Hope. Hope is something that we wait. We could even say those who wait, or those who hope in the Lord. Hope is something that's oriented in the future. It's something that we're hoping comes, and love. So we're talking about a coming here. And John, and as he was talking, because he starts famously with "in the beginning," which was a reference back to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. And Genesis starts with this. It talks about the coming of light. In the beginning, this is how the Bible, if you started reading it from the beginning, this is what you would read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." The first words of God in the Bible: "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, what created light? What was it that created light? As God spoke, right? How did light come? It came from, the light is coming. God spoke. If we were to go outside and it's kind of a cloudy day, but there's light from the sun, Do you know how old that light is that we're experiencing? You know how long ago that came from? We're seeing 8 minutes. Somebody's right on. We got a scientist out there. Roger's right. He's a smart guy. 8 minutes. So when we see the light of the sun, which is the closest star to us, it's 8 minutes ago. It was coming 8 minutes ago, and it took 8 minutes for it to get to us. Or if we look at the closest star to our solar system, Proxima Centauri, It's the closest one, and I want to get this right here because Josh will get on me if I get it wrong. But it's only 5.87 trillion miles away. That's how close it is. Isn't the world amazing in science, like how God created the world? In the beginning, God created. I mean, this closest, next closest star to our solar system is that far away. But even that, any idea on how long, when we see that star in the sky at night, do you know what we're seeing light from? How long ago it was? 4 years ago. That's the closest one. So when we're looking out at this at night, and if we see stars, if we see the very closest one to us, what we're seeing is we're seeing light from 4 years ago. So when we look at the stars, in other words, what we're seeing is light from maybe hundreds or even thousands of years ago. And the light was coming, and by the time it got to us, we're just seeing it, but it's been coming for hundreds or maybe even thousands of years. Isn't that amazing to think about? So the light was, John talked about how the light was coming. Even though people couldn't see it yet, it was still there. And then at the proper time, the light was revealed. So again, do you remember, how did the light come in Genesis? God, what's that, Peggy? God spoke. Yes, thank you. God spoke. He said, let there be light. So the word of God. God spoke the word and it happened. So John talking about light, he also talks about the word. So in John 1, 14, we're talking about Genesis and in the beginning and God's the light of the world. It also calls him the word. This is the word that created light. The word said, let there be light. So John says this, and again, this is a great Christmas verse. It says, and the word, that word that said, let there be light. This is God. This is Christ, the Holy Spirit. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Light. What is light? Light is illumination. Without light, we can't see the world as it is. Light is truth. It helps us to see. Without light, we bump into things that are there because we can't sense, we can't quite know. So light illuminates our path. It helps us to see the way things are. Jesus came full of truth, but he came full of grace. There's an element of grace in light too. It's the warmth of a fire. And in full of truth, it sees us as we are. But full of grace means that we don't have to have a glittering image for someone else to see. That God sees who we are and loves us and sees who we could be. So he doesn't just see the mess maybe that we see, but Christ came full of grace and full of truth. He loves us as we truly are. We don't have to pretend to be someone who we're not. I love that message of the light of the world coming full of grace and full of truth. I want to go to a famous story of a guy named Teddy Stoddard. Teddy Stoddard was a fifth grader. And this is a story of many years ago of an elementary teacher named Mrs. Thompson. And as she stood on the first day of class in front of those fifth graders, she noticed one boy who had some really bad body language. He was sullen. And she knew this guy was going to be a challenge. His name was Teddy Stoddard. And teachers claim that they love all their students the same, but she just did not like this kid. He was trouble. And so as she kind of got to know him, she noticed as she watched Teddy that he didn't play well with the other kids. He was mean. And he just didn't seem to connect. His clothes were a lot of times messy and Teddy smelled bad. He could also be so rude and difficult when she talked to him. It got to one point where Mrs. Thompson would actually take delight in marking his papers with F. She'd have a big smile on her face, X-ing things out and put in the F, thinking, this kid, he kind of deserves it. He's getting on my nerves. Take that. As at the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, one of the requirements that the administration put on the teachers was that they had to review the records of their students. So Mrs. Thompson kind of waited till last. She'd been looking at her students and what the teacher said. And when she finally got to Teddy and reviewed his file, She was in for a surprise. Teddy's first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." His second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but he is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle." His third grade teacher wrote, "Teddy's mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest, and his home life will soon affect him if some steps aren't taken." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends, and he sometimes sleeps in class." By now, Mrs. Thompson recognized what the problem was, and she felt ashamed of herself. She felt even worse when her students brought Christmas presents to her, wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper, except for Teddy's. His present, which was clumsily wrapped in heavy brown paper that he got from a grocery bag, Mrs. Thompson took pains to open it in the middle of the other presents. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle that was one quarter full of perfume. But she stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed how pretty the bracelet was, putting it on and dabbing on some of the perfume on her wrist. That day, Teddy Stoddard stayed after school just long enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to." After the children left, she cried for a long while. On that day, Mrs. Thompson quit teaching reading and writing and arithmetic, and instead she began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson paid particular attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. By the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the best students in her class. A year later, she found a note under her door from Teddy telling her that she was still the best teacher he ever had in his whole life. Another 6 years went by before she got another note from Teddy. He then wrote that he had finished high school, third in his class, and she was still the best teacher he had ever had in his whole life. 4 years after that, she got another letter saying that while things had been hard at college, he'd stayed in school, and he would soon graduate with the highest of honors. He assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still the best teacher and favorite teacher he had ever had. Then a few more years passed, and yet another letter came. This time he explained that after he got his college degree, he decided to go a little further. This letter explained that she was still the best and favorite teacher he ever had. But now his name was a little longer when he signed it, Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. Then a little later, Teddy said he'd met this girl and was going to be married. He explained that his father had died a couple of years ago, and he was wondering if Mrs. Thompson might agree to sit in the place at the wedding that was usually reserved for the mother of the groom. Of course, Mrs. Thompson did. And guess what? She wore the bracelet, the one with several missing rhinestones, and she made sure she was wearing the perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing on their last Christmas together. They hugged each other, and Dr. Stoddard whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, "Thank you, Mrs. Thompson, for believing in me. Thank you so much for making me feel important and showing me that even I had worth." God shows his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's pretty amazing when we think of it. God shows his love, and that we're not defined by our worst moments. Jesus died to cover those worst moments. We're not defined by the mess, but God looks through, full of grace, full of truth. He sees who we truly are and sees who we could be. And God loves us, even while we were at our worst. This morning is an invitation to believe in the God who believes in you. He believes in you so much that he showed his love. Even while we were still sinners, he sent his son. He died for us. And so again, this is that invitation. Believe in the one who believes in you. He looks through and sees who you truly are, full of truth and full of grace. He loves you and sees who you could be. What can we do? Again, it's an invitation to believe. We can believe in Him. We can turn to Him in repentance. We can follow Him. Jesus said this about living out those people who follow Him. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this. Remember, this is coming from the light of the world. He said this to people who follow Him. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This Christmas season, the challenge, I want to challenge you to remember that for love to be known, it has to be shown. And to focus on how you're going to show your love to others, to God, to others. We're going to have lots of opportunities this Christmas season to love people while they're still sinners. it's going to happen. It's going to happen for about all of us. But we're going to have the opportunity to love, show love to fussy kids, show love to grouchy parents, show love to selfish siblings, to misguided in-laws, to obnoxious neighbors, to a wrong-headed spouse, to a strange coworker, and to deeply flawed fellow brothers and sisters in the church. We're going to have opportunities to show love like Christ did, like God did, to show His love while we were still sinners. Christ died and loves us. So I want to just encourage you and challenge you to think about ways that you can be like Christ, who showed love to people who didn't seem worthy of it, to see full of truth and full of grace who the person is and who they could be. The first Christmas was an amazing time. And one of the things I love about it is that God chose to show His love to people who were in the margins of society. Shepherds weren't even allowed to go into a lot of synagogues. They were considered dirty, unclean. These were guys who were out working the night shift. They were considered uncouth. And they were kind of, again, on the outskirts of society, not accepted by respectable people. So they weren't the obvious choice for God to send an angel and then a whole host of angels to say that love had come. But can you imagine? God chose those unlikely people, full of truth and full of grace, to make that announcement of good news, of great joy for all the people. And then He invited them to go and experience the present of presence, Emmanuel, God with us. And they went and they saw the story of the presence and the presence. Oh, Christmas is a time of presence, T.S. We have the wise men traveling from the east and giving gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Christ child. We have the story of presence, C.E. The story of Joseph with an opportunity to leave, and yet he stayed. And Mary and Jesus were present together. It's a story of God being present, sending angels to Mary, to shepherds, that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. It's presence and presence. It's both. So God, in an unlikely way, showed up to shepherds who were thought to be outside of the realm of grace. And God said, this is for everyone. And these shepherds got to see Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And after they did, Luke says, and the shepherds returned. It's after they'd seen what God had done, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Love has to be shown to be known. They saw it. And when we see the love of God with our eyes, when we experience it, when we experience the light of the world, it leads us to a sense of wonder. It leads us to praise and glorify the light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all glory belongs to You. In this world, we hurt and we have moments of weakness. We thank you that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Help us to turn to you with hearts of repentance and gratitude and love so that we can be reconciled with God and others. Sometimes it's difficult to see past someone's faults or flaws and see what love sees. Light of the world, shine upon us. Help us to be full of grace and full of truth, and use us to show the wonders of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.